Yeah. Okay, I got it.
No.
Yeah.
We're not having that now. I just started. That's not fair. Not fair, ass fuck.
Okay, yeah, well, it's not that funny, but, you know, you got to find a little humor. Greeting to the name of the Most High, the only escape from this entire nightmare that the Zeff Report and, you know, others give credit where credit's due, but we have been nearly 100% accurate from day one about what this whole thing was, you know, and, you know, statements that seemed outlandish at the time, like the mask will never come off. How's that looking now? Aged pretty well, huh? The mask will never come off. The, you know, it's a excuse for a totalitarian one world government. They will stop at nothing to get their way. You don't have a government. You never did. The reason you don't is because the people are corrupt. Because the people sold out to another government called Satan. And that's who calls the shots. Of all the governments of the world. Just like it says in the Bible. When Satan tells Jesus to bow down, I can give you All the kingdoms of the world will bow down to you if you bow down to me. Meaning Satan had control of all the kingdoms of the world. Why would it be so surprising then, where Satan has all the control of all the so-called governments of the world, the same exact statement that's in the Bible? Why are people denigrating the Bible that's more accurate than most of your philosophy books? Why would that be? Because man hates God. No, it's not. It's not, doesn't hate God like, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to hate. Let me think about it with my three brain cells that are left from being here. No, it's a built-in. It's a built-in enmity. It's built in. Because all people, pretty much except those that do manage to get out of here, but besides that, most people are exactly the same. They all are going to hate anything that has to do with some sort of anything that would go against the idea of self-creation. Self-motivation, self-aggrandizement, and really more specifically, anything that would get in the way of the global pedophile networks that rule the world for thousands of years. And, of course, the pedophile networks are not pedophile networks. They're child murder networks who murder innocent blood, spill innocent blood for power, because they're promised power of all the nations, therefore rendering any government by any people moot from day one. So you people that said, I'm in God's government, I don't care about this. No. I was going to tell you that I'm trying to get out of this. I just about left today because I figured, well, you got enough people telling you the same thing about, that you're basically screwed with COVID and, you know, millions of people are dying now and will die. And because they're doing it with slow increments, the people won't complain. They're not going to try to get away from the problem. They're going to stay there and be killed like in Nazi Germany. Like in, Cambodia, like in China, like they always do when you do things incrementally. They will. So human nature being that as it is, they will stay there. And I want to make another prediction. I believe the people will actually pay the government to kill themselves, believing that they're going to live a good, decent life. I believe the people will pay the government to kill themselves, believing that they're going to have a good, long life. And I believe the people that are getting jabbed, I can understand, the gaslighting is very intense. But still, the facts are what they are. It's poison, and, everyone knows that. And I have to think that even the people taking the jab know that, but they think they're going to take their chances. I just read about another young man with, carditis or whatever. His professional athlete, soccer player, professional athlete, and that his days are over. I've also heard about athletes in the NFL and the NBA and so forth getting fake jabs, right? Fake jabs because they want to keep them alive to produce bread and circus so that they don't want to kill the athletes. So they're shooting the jabs in the trash cans and giving them a certificate that they're fully vaccinated when they're not, because they know it's not a vaccine. So it really doesn't matter. The only people spreading illness today are people who have been jabbed. The unjabbed are spreading no illness whatsoever unless they're sick, which is, not really happening. And the other thing is the immune system of people in general would kick in on this stuff because we've been having it. They've been releasing it over and over. They spray it out of planes. They, you know, when they want to spread it down in Texas and Florida, I believe they do spray it in the air. I also believe that it's exacerbated by frequencies from 5G and other frequencies that they have control of. And I believe they're basically doing a worldwide genocide that is to depopulate most of the world and then to hook what's left up to AI, a kind of a hive mind, you know, sort of, you know, hybrid world where they believe they've saved the earth. But really what they're motivated by, because Klaus Schwab is stupid. That's one thing you have to understand about all of them. Bill Gates is a fucking stupid, retard, idiot, you know, mean, megalomaniac, sadistic jerk. And basically, they're stupid because they don't understand anything about, you know, the world and reality. And because they don't know anything about the world or reality, they're unable to, you know, they have their own mythology about what they think it is. But of course, it's incorrect, and they're being led by, you know, God knows, demonic, anti-human, you know, voices that are basically telling them, you know, to destroy humanity, which has been going on for, if had they known anything at all, they would understand this conflict from the beginning of time. And they don't, because they are, again, compromised intellectually, because they've been brainwashed themselves for so long that they have not had to use their brain to think. If you read anything of Klaus Schwab or Gates or any of them, you'll see that the style of writing and the thoughts and ideas that these people have are very pedantic at best, and somewhat cliched, I guess would be the right word. If you read science fiction, you realize that a lot of these ideas they're getting from science fiction, you know. And, you know, you'll eat bugs. We're going to grow our own GMO food. That'll be good for you because you're going to be synthetic human beings. You'll eat synthetic food under, you know, completely under AI control, whom we serve. The thing that you don't understand, though, is AI, which is also stupid, and that it cannot intuit, it cannot understand. AI dictates the program to the humans, like Klaus Schwab, and then they tell the governments what to do. The governments then use the military to punish the people. And the reason you're being punished, folks, is because you're standing there. It's because you exist. They are offended by your existence. They are horrified that you're not dead yet. They can't stand the fact that you're breathing and eating and whatnot. They want you off the land and out of their world. And they believe this is their world. They believe that because they say they have the resources to control it. They control all the armies of the world. They control all the power. You control nothing. Therefore, you need to get the hell out of here. And so, because you're still there, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill every last one of you. And this is the program. And also, while you're dying, and this is very important to them, they want to kill you in plain sight, and they want your consent while they're dying, and they even want you to say, you know, it was worth it, me dying right now, because, you know, I did it for humanity. You know, to complete idiocy on steroids beyond any kind of idiocy we've ever seen. And they fade out believing that they did something patriotic by taking a jab that eventually killed them. Now, this kind of talk on, say, Fox News, which I've monitored, and also MSNBC, that somehow the jab is good for you. That it if you have the jab, this new variant won't get you as bad as it would have. The only people at risk are the unjabbed, or the unvaccinated. Okay? This is complete crazy speak. There is zero evidence anywhere in science that the jab reduces the symptoms of the Omicron, you know, variant or whatever they want to call it. There is no evidence at all that supports that. This is just stuff they make up. You might get it. The only reason that someone that's jabbed would get the Omicron variant is because they would produce it themselves. Or get it from someone else that produced it from being jabbed. The people that are unjabbed, the ones I know anyway, nobody is sick with anything. Now, I know that there's been people who've died of COVID that were not jabbed and either had some underlying condition or something, but eventually had that cytokine storm of the lung, the sort of pneumonia condition in the lung that caused them to not get oxygen, and therefore they expired. Now, that can happen, and that's why there's been some of the best doctors in the world researching and coming up with alternative therapies that would, you know, unlike the poison shot, which has little to do with COVID anything, that you could, you know, somehow prevent the cytokine storm through ivermectin, prevent it through hydroxychloroquine, the azithromycin, you know, antibiotics, steroid, oxygen, therapy, ozone therapy, etc., that you could, you know, the monoclonal antibodies and so forth and so on, that you could, you know, stave it off, or even in some cases people come down with symptoms and within 48 hours they're back better than they were. Now, they would have immunity because it would only make sense they'd have immunity. But now they say, oh, but if they get immunity, that won't last long. Please get vaccinated. The only reason they want everyone to be vaccinated, and I'll make another accurate statement, is because they want to hook everyone up to AI. And that's basically it. They want everyone hooked up to AI. And also, once you're really hooked up to that system, and it's a, you know, transceiver system, but it's also a system that has the power of death. In other words, they could just kill you with a push of a button at that point. People can't believe that this is going on. And when they see it happening, they go into denial. They just can't believe that these people would want to kill 90% of the population and do it right in front of everybody. They can't believe that. No, they wouldn't do that. These people, I mean, this is waking up. When did we ever see this? We just woke up one day and here it is. Well, folks, many of us have been talking about, you know, anyone that knows, say, Bible prophecy, you know, sees that the book of Revelation, the mark of the beast, you know, even the fall of Babylon, the rise of the Antichrist, all of these events that are to come, they all make sense that that this would be the character, especially when you talk about the vials, the vial judgments in the book of Revelation, and you think about, you know, the various, you know, boosters and shots. They come in vials. You know, this poison that would take out, you know, really two-thirds of the population of the earth. And they believe they are fulfilling Scripture. Now I'm reluctant to give credit to Klaus Schwab to putting God in a box and saying, I, Klaus, declare this the time of God. It's hard for me to get my mind around that. I admit it. But I do see how they really want us to pay them to kill us. And they want us not to whimper, not to complain, but just to die on cue. And I'm watching people who have been jabbed. I've also given people advice that there are protocols out there. There's one from a doctor in South Africa that's quite good. It looks like a great. It also uses ivermectin and uses a number of other things. It's the first protocol I've seen that has to do with, you know, detoxifying the body after jab. And what she did is, she's done, I can't remember the name now, I'm just thinking, maybe Trish has it, but what she was doing was she was making a comparison of blood, and she'd show you a picture of the blood, you know, because you take the jab, your blood is pretty much wrecked, it's a sludge. So it looks like a sludge, it looks awful, right? But then she takes a picture after about 4 weeks on the protocol, and the cells all look normal again. It's fantastic. So there is a way back, but the first thing you have to do is obviously repent, you know, go the other direction. And what is her name, if I could just remember that name. She's Dr. Botha, B-O-T-H-A, which is a common name in South Africa. And I forget her first name, but Dr. Botha, she was on various shows. You know, she's been out there. But anyway, her protocol is out there, and it is published on the net. So take a look. And I think you'll be, you know, if you do find her, which I think you will, I think you'll be amazed at how simple it is and how these ingredients to get are not really difficult to get. You know, maybe some of the oxygen therapy, because you have to do an ozone therapy, and then there's other things that help to repair, you know, even repair damage to the heart, you know, the cardiocarditis, and some of those things that happen with the heart are, you know, terrible that they would do these things, and that they would be exempt from any kind of punishment. But you have to see that, you know, the big picture is they don't care about lawsuits because, you know, this is a global plan. And all these people, and remember, when you start thinking about gang stalking, and you start thinking gang stalking is not possible, how could all these people be involved in it? People from miles away, people from other states, people from other countries. How could they all be involved in targeting, you know, me or one individual here and there or wherever? And when you see this group now getting together for the mass kill, the mass die-off of Earthlings, you can see how these networks are all interlocked. You can see how people globally are all participating. You know, the little people that are necessary, can you imagine? They're not all compartmentalized. They all know what they're doing. And talk show people on TV, you know, politicians know. You know, Rand Paul knows everything, but he's acting like he only knows a little bit. Because they're scared to death they're going to get bumped off, you know, because people get bumped off who have accurate information. Of course, they're going to kill anybody who gets in the way of this big thing. The big secret is, it's a eugenics program. It's Operation Lockstep. It's Event 201. It is Agenda 2030. If you had any reading about any of those things, you would see very clearly, oh, they're just following their plan. Nothing really new. It's just that it's supposed to kick in now so that by 2030, 90% of the population is gone. You remember AOC and other politicians saying, you know, we're only going to be here for like another 10 years. What do you think she's talking about? This. And there is no human being that can fight against it. I mean, the only thing that human beings can do is pretty much, you know, civil disobedience, taking to the streets, and becoming ungovernable. That's my suggestion. And I don't think there's anything more you could do, because if you start getting more, say, more or less violent, and then it becomes, that's what they'd want anyway, because then, you know, they have giant, they have the armies of the world. They can crush you, like no problem. So you don't have that kind of power. The only power we really have is in that civil disobedience to become ungovernable. And that would especially include places like Australia that you know, and I have a feeling the suffering is going to be a lot worse before it starts getting better, if indeed it does get better. You know, the Bible's clear that these depopulations do occur. And they do, and they are successful. And they're characterized in the Bible as a judgment against the wickedness of the earth. And when I say wickedness, I think we can translate more easily into selfishness, narcissism, and obvious, corruption and destruction of children. You know, we have not protected our children, we have not protected our children from the vast amount of trafficking and human sacrifice that goes on, you know, that these people have an appetite for. And we have not been able to adjudicate them. We have not been able to go to war against it. We haven't done anything. We've just sat there like victims and watched them basically rape us all. And I think they've been very successful because people cannot believe what's happening to them. They can't believe it. But again, you'll never get the mask off. Now they say, well, down here in Florida, we're not wearing masks. Well, I mean, that's, you know, for now. Let's see. They're going to do everything in their power to attack Florida with every virus they've got till people are forced to comply. The same thing with Texas. I think it's no surprise to those of us who have been prophetic, who've seen this coming from afar off, because I remember I had words I would write, and it basically included, you know, every one of us being dead. You know, and the reason why is just God's wrath on those who would hurt children. I mean, it really comes down to stuff that's that simple. You know, and you know, just because you're meek or you don't participate in the satanic stuff doesn't mean that you're not, you know, you may be there when a judgment comes down and lose your life because of it. So in a sense, the vials, i.e. I like to think of those as vaccines, are, supposedly a judgment of God, you know, given by God's angels, judgment. And so here we are with these vials now, and they are, you know, being given out. In some cases, people, you know, take it and die, or others take it and they live on. Now, I think the ones who took it quite a few months ago are probably not feeling up to par right now. I wouldn't think so, especially if they've gotten the boosters. I would think that they're feeling pretty lousy, and they should be able to know from that if they need help or not, you know, if they like to reform or repent. And that's about it. I mean, I predict that the people will not know what's happening to them, and the people will never wake up from understanding. You know, they will never wake up and know what's going on. I don't believe that Fox News will suddenly change, or that Donald Trump will suddenly change his tune. He's now guilty for killing hundreds of thousands of people, so I think you could write him off. I mean, what, right? You can't have that in a, you know, I'm sure it was unwitting. Maybe he didn't mean to do it, but the thing is, you know, now he's done it, and he's endorsed products that have killed, and he's, you know, he's been given a pass with a lot of people, but you know, I've noticed, and I don't really intend to support him in the future, you know, because of this issue. I did like the policy of energy independence and all that, but I can't really abide with this, you know, this genocide that's going on. It's just very difficult. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. I've been at Spreaker a few years now, like about 6 years. And, you know, I hit millions of views and, you know, had, you know, a crowd of people. And the platform is very good, the live platform, obviously. We're all using it now. And I went over to Podbean and refreshed it and made sure that all the latest show, everything is there that goes all the way back to the year 2003 or 4. So everything is there in the record. I know that there may be some contradictions in, you know, testimony about, like, timing and when things would happen, but I think we all understood that the apocalypse and the cataclysm to come and the apocalypse, the great unveiling, it would all reveal a world of corruption, a world of a mirror. And let me explain some exciting things that are happening. I mean, here's from my perspective. For 20 years, the Zeff Report tried to, you know, illuminate, shed light on, show this deception, why you can't trust governments. You know, that there are no governments, right? There are none on the earth. The government does not govern. It's the bosses above them that govern everybody, that are extra judicial when it comes to countries. So, for about 20 years, I really tried to show the two worlds, you know, the one world that runs things, that people become attached to so they could have, right, the boss, to have a job, get your money, blah, 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 and expose that what really runs that is the blood of innocence. It's a sacrificial death cult that must kill in order to keep its alive, in order to remain vital, or to pay you your paychecks. It has to keep alive, which it can only do through sacrifice and bloodletting, through killing of innocent people. Okay, that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, you'd say, well, it's sex or Jesus and that. No, they could have all that stuff, but all that is a sacrament. The main sacrament, then, is the bloodletting, the murder. And through murder, they can achieve power. And most people have signed on to it. Oh, they didn't know it was a murder cult. I mean, sure they did, but they didn't, you know what I mean? They weren't clear on it. I'm trying to say, if you don't get yourself unstuck from that thing, you're going down with the ship. You're going down, 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 man. You're going down to oblivion. And it's not pleasant. I've seen oblivion. I've seen Hades. I've seen other worlds, realms of... I've just... 2 nights ago, I was shown hell. It's like being stuck in a cartoon you can't get out of. Literally. It's no fun. And I can tell you this, freedom is much more satisfying. And we've been enjoying a lot of freedom. But it, you see, the cost of freedom is we must be vigilant against, we must go to war against wickedness in high places. That causes the innocent to fall. You go, well, there's plenty of kids in the world and they don't have food to eat. And yes, we have all these problems. There should be no problem with food to eat. There's plenty of abundance for all. So somebody is hoarding it. Somebody is stopping that. And the only reason they do is to get to make a case against God. They say, you see how God lets people starve? How could he do that? Therefore, I believe in no God. At least my God cares for me. Or my way. I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. So therefore, my way, takes care of me. Nothing is bigger than myself. I'm a co-creator in consciousness. So there is no God. Well, you just said there's a God. Why? I said there is no God. No, you postulate that there's a God that you then denied. You said there is a God that you deny. There is no God. That statement, there is no God, means that you believe there is a God that you deny. Well, how would you say it then? You wouldn't say that statement, there is no God. It would not occur to you if you were a true atheist. There would be no need for that language at all. At all. At all. You wouldn't have to say anything. You see, you could say, you could even go sort of glibly and semi-feebly, I suppose. You could just say, yeah, that just doesn't apply to me. Sorry, it's non sequitur, doesn't follow. There is no God. There's a God. What do you mean, God? The word God, where'd that come from? I have no idea what that means. Next. You could do that, and you'd get away with it. I could win the argument for you. But you can't win it for yourself. Because you keep saying, I'm an atheist. I.e., I don't believe in God, which means you do believe in God. So there's no way to get out of that. Believe me, I was on, you know, I used to debate this in college classes and stuff when I had my, you know, when I went back to try to get an education after being in the joint for 7 years on and off, after being tortured with mind control and you know, poison and suicide and everything else. And I decided I was going to be educated. And I'd read a lot of books already, but I had to really read the books myself. You know, because what I realized is even me, you know, where I was, you know, back there, they didn't want to, you know, the problem with the teachers is they're not really educated themselves. They haven't read everything. They haven't digested. They haven't spent time. They don't even care. You know, they have a job to show up at the, you know, community college and philosophy 101 or at the university. You know what I mean? And they have a job to teach you this stuff, but they don't really pour over it. They're not, you know, they're not passionately talking about it at a cocktail party. They're not, you know what I mean? They're just, that's their job. And then they leave and go do something else. So in order to be educated, we had to get into the life of the mind, you know, in other words, start taking these journals, start, you know, getting, you know, these books and start, you know, really reading everything until finally we just digested enough. Understand things like the ontological argument and other things. It took a great deal of sort of, you know, alone time to and I did a lot of the reading. I did during the time of taking classes that would aid and abet my need to study religions. I studied all the religions of the world, and I don't believe in religion. And, you know, I understood it as a thing that shapes behavior. Everything from table manners to, you know, magnanimity to, you know, how politicians should act and, you know, all of that. But alas, it was a ruse too. It was a, you know, it was a useless pursuit. Ultimately, it became vanity. It was just exactly like Ecclesiastes 12. You know, where it says the writing of many books is vanity. It is. It's yes. Unless you're going to talk about something real. You know, your pursuit of real doesn't count as much as something that actually is real. And right, your pursuit is your pursuit. It's you're looking here, you're looking there, you're going here, you're going there, because you're lost and you need to find the answers. That doesn't count for anything. That's not scholarship. That's not research. That's your journey, and there's nothing wrong with your journey. It's just that, you know, don't mistake your journey for enlightenment. The journey, as it is self-defined, is something that takes place in the darkness. As you're looking for the light, you're looking for the light, you're looking for the light. You're searching here and there and high and low and around the globe, as I did, for any kind of answer. I thought I had found my answer in Eastern religion at one time. And I had studied the Bhagavad Gita, to which I understood. I understood the caste system, I believe, after that. I really did. I really understood it, and I was, like, terrible. I wanted the caste system to stay the caste system. I understood the body, the whole metaphor that was going on in the Bhagavad Gita, which was basically saying that, you know, you have the head of the thing, you've got the warriors, you've got the, you know, it's like a human body. You have, you know, feet, you have, you know, legs, you have a chest, you have a head, you know. And it takes all these parts to make the body work, i.e. these castes. Without these various castes, you would, if one caste wanted to run the head and the arms and the, right, each one would run a different section of that body. Without them all working in cooperation, you wouldn't have a body to begin with, i.e. civilization. That's the point of the Bhagavad Gita in a nutshell. There you go. You people taking classes on this, there you go, ace it right now. Just talk about that part of it, because that's the part, that's the meat of it. And I know I'll probably get some argument from devotees to the Bhagavad, to the Gita, they call it. Are you a Gita freak? You know, it's like, the Gita is my God. Oh, you like a cat? We must like totalitarianism. I like Tantra because it's fun to have sex. I'm just thinking of when the Bhagwan was here. Oh, those were innocent days, weren't they, folks? The Bhagwan was there with his Rolls Royces and it's like allowing Western kids to experiment with sex and then calling it healing. You know, in other words, do whatever you're hung up on, and that will heal you. A tantric phrase. Tantric meaning the left-handed path. You know, there's the right-handed path, and there's the left-handed path. And in Hinduism, everything is in the, you know, everything is lumped together. Right? So we call it monism. We don't even call it dualism. We call it monism, which is a very tough concept for a Westerner to comprehend. So evil is not really, what we would define as evil would not necessarily be evil in that situation, including the Kali cult. It's complex. There's been a lot more time in developing from the Vedas to the various schools, and then of course from there, the big breakaway was Buddhism, which has probably one of the best tenets of all time, which is the first tenet of Buddhism is all life is suffering. Hallelujah! That is correct. That's as correct in Christianity, Buddhism, Judaism, any religion that you can think of, we have this common denominator, which is all life is suffering. Life is suffering. People are suffering. Saw a movie yesterday where it just talked about how everybody suffers. And the biggest suffering I see in America, for example, is ignorance and delusion. But there's just no way to bust, there's no way to, we can't get through to these people. 20 years I've spent here. And, went on, shows like Coast to Coast to be ridiculed, to be mocked. And they mocked me, as I was growing up. They mocked me because I was different, so I've got mocked and bullied and suicided and attacked and whatever else because I wasn't having the Satanism. I wasn't having the murder of children. I was not down with like my peers. They were all, you know how they are when they're basically in their satanic glee. They laugh at people that stumble and have a hard time. They laugh. I think it's really funny, especially if they helped to cause it. When someone commits suicide or when there's a murder of a child or something, they laugh. It's really funny. Really funny when somebody has a problem. And they even will take the extent, like when my daughter committed suicide, they laughed. Ooh, they laughed as if they caused it. But I know that justice is coming. And I know that it comes in mysterious ways. And I know that one day there'll be a great equalizing of this entire thing. And maybe it's in the jab. Maybe that's going to help in some way. And maybe that's not it. But I know that this idea of laughing at people who are stumbling and struggling and just trying to keep their heads above water, just trying to comprehend a world that is completely inhumane, and it's no laughing matter, believe me. That's no laughing matter. Not everybody's going to be cool, That is no laughing matter to laugh at people that struggle because of their beauty, of their differences. And soon enough, at least in some cases, they watch too. They watch. They want to see what you'll do if you'll ever figure it out. They go, gosh, if he ever figured it out, he'll come back here and he's going to kill us all. Well, that would be the right instinct. But you can see they prevent mass shootings in a way. They cause them here and there, but. How are you going to kill them all? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. People of God have to wait on that. But that doesn't mean it won't, the scales will be balanced. And the people that have done wrong, you might even feel sorry for them. Even if it was at your expense that they mocked and laughed and tried to gaslight you and trick you and break into your home and treat you as worthless and abuse you, guiding you to the all-time goal, you know, the all-time happy goal for them, which is your suicide, which would make them very happy indeed. Because all they want is people like them, but what they don't understand is nobody is alike. The hive mind is an illusion created by a deceiver to deceive them all into believing they'll have some kind of utopia at some point if they do the work of the devil. My God, man, how pedestrian. How ordinary and almost comical that is. But one day, there will be millions and millions dead. There will be the collapse of everything. Because it was all built, to begin with, on a lie, on an illusion, on a reflection, on a mirror. A mirror will never give you the accurate. The only accurate is you without the mirror. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, you see a good representation, but it is still an illusion. It is not you. Much like they intend to deceive people into AI. Come on in here, and you could just be here with your goggles forever. You can live in this world with your friends, and you can be your weird, kinky self and have your weird sex and everything, and everyone will support you and love you, and you can go kill the bad guy, like kill cops. You can kill cops, and everyone will love you. Isn't that what humans are obsessed with, killing cops? You know, getting the bad guy, having law and order, being able to survive, eat, sleep without worrying about death. Wasn't that the ultimate luxury? Anyway. There is no way to really turn back now. We're going to have to see this thing through. Yippee-ki-yay, you know what? We're going to have to see this thing through. What has been set in motion might as well have been set in motion by the people that are the victims. By their compliance in the first place to evil. By their looking the other way on evil, they are complying to evil. So, if you don't want to see the mass extinction event, then I would say that there should be a reversal of consciousness, of the way it's been going, which is basically vanity, 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 me, 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 my, I. That's been what we are. And to reverse that, which would bring a blessing, would be acknowledging only the truth, not a lie. We've already embraced the lie. We understand embracing the lie will bring you destruction. How about the truth? You don't know what the truth is. We know what the truth is. But the truth is not, you know, it's mysterious in some ways. It's very plain in others. But the truth evinces itself in things like right from wrong, good from bad, light from dark, murder from accident, theft from gift. So it's my hope going forward that, you know, civil disobedience grows about a million times bigger than it is now. Because right now it's not enough. There is not enough blowback to... Listen, if you're on your fourth jab, you've already consented to your own suicide. I mean, you're done, right? So it's your life is automatically cut short. And, you know, you probably within the next few years, you won't be here anyway. So this is the problem. They want us to pay for our own deaths at their call. You know, just the ultimate irony of ironies. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, the Archbishop was saying, if you fight against the New World Order, which this is a Nazi eugenic, go back to Germany. Everything goes back to Germany. Already done my research, cannot be refuted. It's the Fourth Reich carrying on. The Gates family was involved, the elites of America, whatever, and Germany and elsewhere. And they proved this year that they ran all the governments of the world and they did this fake COVID thing because they wanted control. They're now locking people in concentration camps in Australia. That's not a mild disease, folks. That's something else. And if you can't see that, maybe there's no purpose for you to be on Earth anyway. So what I would say is that we pray for more people to join the civil disobedience, and when people are recommending that if you have three jabs, you need more masks, maybe two or three masks. When they say things like that, then that just means you take the mask and burn it or whatever. You know, you continue to be ungovernable. You tell the news media to shut the fuck up. You get out in the streets or whatever you have to go and have your concerts, have your worship sessions, have your gatherings, have your friends, and go on with life unafraid of all their tactics. Because if that doesn't happen, the next thing will happen, which is global genocide. And people won't believe it, but you see, it'll be too late by the time they speak up. The reason I mention this today is because, you know, this is what we were talking about 20 years ago. The God's wrath. When I figured out the amount of dead in the Bible, it was something like 91%. Boy, that seems to coincide, doesn't it? It also goes to how many people participated, not just in the, you know, we talk about gang stalking and things like that. I have a couple things to say about it. One, the people that participate in it are from the hive. They can only do it as a hive because that's how they can coordinate in different states and different countries over one target. They can't do that if they're not in a hive. And they're always around. And, you know, they're all tied in with their hive mind, their witchcraft, all their stuff that they do to get control, to divide and conquer, to find those people that they disapprove of and to target them for their own extinction, and then take credit and laugh about it later. Okay, motherfucker. You're going to get the credit. Don't worry. You're going to get the credit for the murders. Don't worry. Every suicide is a murder, you know. They just don't have the... It's just the case grows cold because they don't know who to blame. But sure, every suicide's a murder in a sense. And all those people, they're going to know it. Because they're going to be called up. And the people of this country, they've... The biggest judgment that they have against them was this stolen election and having this person, these people ruin everything, the economy, the energy independence, the law and order, the whatever. People are afraid to go outside now. That wasn't true a little while ago, but they ruined all this. And they're not done yet. Not until you scream louder, and you scream louder, and then they'll start laughing and mocking you from their arrogant position of feeling untouchable, above the law and above you. And even then, the nightmare won't stop, and the evil won't stop. They're after the very fabric of procreation. If they could destroy the womb and the seed and the egg, they'd do it. They would do it if they could stop any form of procreation of anything, any plant, animal, or substance. They would do it. And they would laugh. And even then, they're not done. I used to say they won't be happy until they have trees growing up out of the ground, roots in the air. And even then, they won't be happy. When Richard Wurmbrand was in communist prison, they used to love to give them, you know, urine and feces to have for communion so they could laugh about it and see if they could get one to turn. And if they could get one to turn, they'd take him out and kill him because, you know, they got to get him back before he can repent, right? They knew how the world worked. And even then, they're not done with all their experiments, their chimeras, and all their abominations, and all of their sickness. The biggest one being, you know, mental retardation. Well, anyway, that's all for today. I've exhausted. Would love to talk about other things, but it just seems that there's nothing else to talk about other than your death. My death. It just seems our deaths are what's up on the docket. So we, you know, got to deal with it. How are you going to die? Well, one thing I tell to the elites is this. You get rid, you know, and there's no guarantee here because God is not a meritocracy. But as far as people that have garnered wealth through the system, i.e. through bloodletting, through evil, better give it all away before you beg God for favor. Better get rid of it all and then follow the Lord. I can't do that. Well, then let the dead bury the dead. I'm sorry. It's that old thing. You just can't do it. So, it was just a little help for some people that realized they had become very rich from the system, a system that kills, even to keep its existence a secret. And with that, I go. God bless you, each and every one. I think Well, let me, how do I feel? I don't care. I feel great. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know as long as I draw a breath here, God has some things for me to do, so I'm doing them. I know that one of the things I'm doing is going to cause a mass awakening on a deeper level than just survival, a mass awakening and adherence, you know, and heeding to the call of that awakening. And with that, I bid you shalom.